The news that you've got terminal cancer can leave you feeling like all your choices have been taken away, but one you still have is how you share the news and who you tell. Maybe your loved one chose to keep their terminal diagnosis a secret. Of course, that can be a strain on you. Do call us 0500 288 291. Very pleased to say we've got Susan George, the actress, on the line now, widow of the actor Simon McCorkindale, who kept his diagnosis of bowel cancer a secret from the world for 3 years. Good afternoon, Susan.
Good afternoon to you.
And Simon was diagnosed in 2006?
Correct. Yes, he was.
And did you have a conversation about whether to go public or not?
No, to be honest with you, to begin with, there was no conversation about that. It was all... So Simon was not a... He didn't believe in illness, and anybody who knows him knows, or would know, that he didn't want anybody ever to feel he was ill or anything was wrong. And so all that mattered to him in the world was to go about his life and to keep life as normal as we possibly could, and that's what we attempted to do. That's what we did do.
And you were, I think, just celebrating your 25th wedding anniversary at the time. And
we did have a wonderful party for our 25th wedding anniversary. And I don't, Jeremy, whether it sounds, it was our choice, and it is a very, very personal choice. It was his choice more than our choice, but became our choice. Because how you deal with this sort of thing is so devastating, and how you deal with it is a very, very personal way. And his way was to, as I say, keep on living. That was the most important thing. And naive as it may sound, and ridiculous as it may sound, we never believed for one moment that we would lose him.
And what
we believed we would win the battle.
What did the doctors say to you both?
We were told at one point, which really, really hurt more than anything else, we were actually given a finite date, which I have very personal views about whether that's right or wrong. In this world today, everyone has to cover themselves, and I understand that. But it is a shocking blow to be told anything in life about... You know, I read one of the things that Linda said, and dear Linda, I adore her. And one of the things she said was about losing control, and it was perhaps one of the most painful things for him of everything, was the thought of losing control. He had control over his entire life, and you lose control. You don't have control. So he kept control of his life in the way that we decided to do it, and he lived his life, and he lived his life to the full. We turned down a lot of chemotherapy treatment. He did have it for a short period of time, actually right before our 25th wedding anniversary, and I remember it vividly because he knew that our anniversary was coming up. We had 60 people coming to our house for dinner, and he was going into London to have the last of 6 treatments, and we asked for that treatment to be put off because it's so debilitating, the chemotherapy. I understand that it has tremendous value for some people, but it's... The mental feeling is extraordinary in itself, without the fact of what you were actually doing to your system. And he did come home from these therapies incredibly, incredibly weak. It just, for him, it was something that was making him ill, rather than he was living his life in his own way, in our way, not ill. And that's the way he wanted to leave it, and that's the way he left this earth for another.
He was on Casualty, and he was Dr. Harry Harper, and
yes,
of course that.
Yes.
And I my impression reading the story, Susan, is he was just determined to keep going with that, but then his hand was forced.
Yes, it was one day he came to me and he said, you know, I had a phone call today from a friend, a guy, who said, are you okay, mate? And he said, you know, that really has, that's a claw in my side. I think that the whisper is becoming bigger than a whisper. I think more people are getting to know, perhaps, that I'm not 100%, which is how he described it, bless his darling heart, and that's how he thought, not 100%. Never ill, but not 100%. And he felt that at that time we needed to discuss whether we should perhaps come open, be open with it and share it so that this didn't happen to be a whisper that got bigger and bigger and bigger and in some ways out of proportion and different stories and people telling it in a different way. And he didn't want that to happen. He did not want to feel that. So we made this monumental decision to do an article with Hello Magazine. And that was a real hard one for us. Everything was much harder for he than me. I was there beside him on every step of the way. And we made this decision to go with Hello Magazine, and we did the interview. Another really, really hard time in our life, having somebody, a journalist, into our home. Although we're very public people, we were also very private people. And so to have someone in our home and to actually talk about our love for one another and how we felt about his illness and what was the future. But I remember that also in that article, we said Simon is living with cancer, not dying of cancer. And that's exactly how he felt all the way, all the time. And so did I. And as I say, naive as it may be, that was our attitude. That's how we dealt with it. It's very personal, but we dealt with it that way. The one thing that I would say is that after that article came out, there was a huge sense of relief. We talked about that. People were incredibly supportive, as you would know they would be, friends, and the support was phenomenal. And he did feel a sense of relief, a sense of the fact that, or at least he told me he did, but I know how proud he was. And, you know, I couldn't even get him to wear a beanie hat to go out in the freezing, freezing cold 5 years ago, because it was really below freezing out here where we live on Exmoor. And he didn't want that either. I'm not sick. I don't need to be wearing a hat. It was just, that's how we lived. And I understood that, and that's the way we lived our lives. But when he came to me, when he came back in the room after he'd just read the feature that had just been published, he walked back into my office and he said, "You know what, darling Suze? From this day forward, I have become unemployable." And that, Jeremy, was the biggest pain I think he felt in the entire years of his illness. The thought that this industry that he loved so much and was so passionate about, and being an actor and performing, was going to be taken away from him because people would look upon him as a liability. And I think that was and for me, that has stayed with me, lives with me to this day. And if I can, I want to be able to do something about that. I want to be able to support that. And I am trying right now to put together a charity that is going to assist, I hope, that situation in life.
Thank you so much, Susan. Just stay with us, because we've got Barbara Want here, who lost her husband, the journalist Nick Clark, to cancer in 2006. And just listening to that, the dilemma of how public you make the news, how many friends you tell, when you tell them, whether it loads too much onto them.
It always amazes me that any illness should in any way be anyone else's property. All our illnesses, our medical conditions are confidential, and yet suddenly, particularly if you're a public figure, if you get cancer, there is a pressure on you to come public. As Susan said, it's very sad that in her case, Simon felt his hand was forced, and I really feel for them in that way. My husband, when he got cancer, did choose to go public, but why should you? I read obituaries, and obituaries often describe how someone's died and what cancer they had, and I think, what business is it of any of ours?
Of course, it is not just about people who have a public profile, because there will be a trucker listening today who has cancer and has not yet told his boss, and that it's that as well, isn't it?
And
he worries about the same thing that Simon worried about.
Yes, you may well worry about what happens to your work prospects. I think also, when you have this devastating diagnosis, if it becomes public property, even if it's just to friends and family and you don't want it to be, it's sort of open house for people to comment on how you should then live your life and what the prognosis might be. And people can say incredibly insensitive things. Susan very interestingly talked about the desire to control your story, to control your illness, to control your life. And she said that maybe they were naive when Simon was ill. And I don't think that's naive at all. I think if you have cancer, you have every right to do it your way, to control who you tell and why and when. And I think the only factor in the equation is that if you have a partner, they must be with you on that, because there must be many people who are keeping their partner's serious illness secret. And I think that's very, very hard for them.
Well, stay with us, Barbara. Thank you again, Susan, for being with us today.
It's an enormous pleasure. Thank you, Jeremy.
Thank you. Talking about Simon McCorkindale, absolutely brilliant actor who was taken from us in 2010. And we are discussing, again, another sad story about Linda Bellingham, who's very ill. Whether, if you have cancer, you cannot tell people how long you can leave it. Do call us 0500 288 291.